Welcome to Bridging the Gap. I'm Eileen Foley, and I'm excited to be joined by GASB Chair Joel Black again as we introduce today's new episode. Hi, Joel.
Hi, Eileen. Good to see you.
Thanks for joining us again, Joel. Today, I know we're diving into a project, GASB's Implementation Guidance. Can you just give us a brief understanding of what that is and who Matt will be speaking with today?
Sure. This is an update to our implementation guide. We do them every once in a while. It has come to about every couple of years. This update will likely come out in 2025, but now we have released an exposure draft of the proposed update to the implementation guide. Matt's going to talk to Emily Paul, who is a senior project manager and the leader of this project.
Thanks, Joel. Before we just jump into our episode, I know the public comment period is currently open. Is there a deadline for comment?
You're absolutely right, Eileen. There is. We always welcome to receive comments, but there is a deadline here of January 24th of 2025.
That's good to know. Listeners, be sure to mark your calendars. I look forward to hearing more about this project. So let's go ahead and turn it over now to our host, Matt Broder, as he sits down with Emily to explore this topic in more detail.
Thank you so much, Joel and Eileen. It's great to be here today with Emily Paul from the GASB staff. And today, we're going to be talking about GASB's project on implementation guidance. Before we dig into it, I know that there's a long and important history of these implementation guides being issued by the GASB. Can you explain what role, Emily, these guides play in GASB's ongoing efforts to establish and improve GAP for state and local governments?
Sure. So our implementation guidance provides guidance in the form of questions and answers. And so that guidance is specifically intended to clarify, explain, or elaborate on our GASB statements, which are Category A, GAP, and these questions and answers in our implementation guidance is Category B, GAP. It really plays an instrumental role in helping our stakeholders understand and apply the standards, and particularly during that implementation phase of a new pronouncement.
Got it. So in general terms, how does GASB identify what needs to go into an implementation guide in a particular period?
There's a couple of different ways that the topics come up. So a lot of times we have our recently issued pronouncement, and there might be some application issues that were raised during the due process. So when that statement was going from its exposure draft to final statement, we may have heard from stakeholders at that time that how is this going to work specific to this set of facts and circumstances. Also, we might get feedback during that post-issuance period. So we've just issued a pronouncement, and then the questions start to come in, how does this apply in this circumstance? Mm-hmm. The GASB also gets technical inquiries or questions received from stakeholders, and that may be on new pronouncements or existing pronouncements. And then sometimes topics are identified by our advisory council or other stakeholders. So various ways that the questions come to light.
Yeah, so basically GASB has its ear to the ground when the information is out there, and you aggregate the feedback you're getting about questions, and that leads you to the next version, basically, of the implementation guidance.
Exactly.
Yeah. So the new one that's coming out, it's getting ready for public comment. What can stakeholders expect to see in this version when the exposure draft is issued?
So there are close to 20 new questions and answers that are being proposed. Yeah. And then there's two questions and answers that are proposing amendments to existing questions and answers that we have in our literature right now. So with those 20 new questions, there's some questions that are related to GASB Statement 103 on the financial reporting model. That's one of the newer statements that GASB's issued. And so that's not a surprise that we have some questions related to that. We also have some questions and answers in there related to Statement 100, and governments have been working on their implementation of that statement, and so we have some questions and answers there. We also have questions and answers related to Statement 91 on conduit debt, 101 on compensated absences, and related to 104 on disclosure of capital assets. And then we still have a few related to Statement 87, which is our leases standard.
Some oldies, yeah.
Not quite a new pronouncement, but, yeah. You know, a significant pronouncement. And
sure.
So the questions continue.
Yeah. So that's a long list. That's a long list of statements that you're covering in this guide. Is there some way to sort of, if you will, highlight some key ones that maybe our stakeholders want to be paying maybe more attention to?
Sure. So, I mean, I think certainly all of the ones related to Statement 103, just because that is hot off the press and coming down the pike. We also have a question and answer, a proposal that really came up as a result of conversations that were happening during the deliberations that led to Statement 104. Mm. But the question and answer is not quite within the scope of Statement 104. So this question and answer addresses real estate that has been purchased for economic development and how that's been reported. Mm-hmm. And so the topic came about in light of Statement 104, and we've heard from stakeholders that there's quite a bit of diversity in practice in that. So we have a question and answer addressing that circumstance. And then the Statement 100 questions that are related to accounting changes and error corrections, we have some new questions and answers that discuss the display provisions that are required by that statement. And those are new provisions in the GASB literature. So clarifying the intent of what those provisions really mean.
Yep. So the exposure draft will be out, and then folks have the opportunity to send in comment letters. What is the deadline for the comment letters? And then once you've got the feedback in-house, what is going to happen to it?
So the comment letter deadline is January 24th, 2025. Mm-hmm. And once we have the comments, the staff and board consider that feedback. And then it goes through another round of deliberations. And then we work towards our next draft and what would be a final implementation guide. Mm-hmm. One thing that I do like to note here about the feedback is that if we receive recommendations or suggestions to include topics that are not addressed currently in the exposure draft, those are maintained on a separate monitoring list so that we could include them in a future guide. But because we like for our proposals to be exposed for due process, we can't incorporate them immediately into a final guide.
So it goes onto the list for future consideration.
Exactly.
Yep. So what you put all that together, what does the timeline look like for the balance of the project?
So an implementation guide project typically has a shorter timeline, and that's intentional so that we can issue timely and relevant guidance as these statements are coming out, and we can issue guidance to help those statements be implemented and applied. So after the comment period ends in January, we have that second redeliberative phase, and then we're expected to issue a final implementation guide, which would be the 2025 update in the second quarter of 2025.
Got it. Okay, great. Some stakeholders I know are very familiar with how to provide comments or feedback, but for those who may not be aware, what's the process for providing feedback to GASB?
So comments can be submitted through a comment letter that would be provided via email to our director mailbox, or we also have an electronic form, which is available on the GASB website, that can be completed. And particularly with respect to this project, it does cover various topics, a wide range as we discussed. And so we encourage stakeholders, you know, to comment on any aspects, you know, not to feel intimidated if they can't comment on every single question, but have a comment about a few of them. That's still great feedback, and we'd love to hear it.
Good. Great. Well, Emily, thank you for joining us on Bridging the Gap and telling us more about this project. We look forward to having you back for future work.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you all so much for tuning in with us to this episode of Bridging the Gap. We hope you'll join us again, and please be sure to visit gasb.org/podcast to subscribe and to stay updated on future episodes. You can also follow the GASB on LinkedIn, Facebook, and X, previously Twitter. Bridging the Gap is a production of the Financial Accounting Foundation, produced by myself, Eileen Foley, and brought to audiovisual life by Patrick Dorsman. So until next time, keep balancing those books, crunching those numbers, and embracing the art of financial reporting.